Welcome to DAD, Dads Aren't Deadbeats, a community of care and compassion in observance of the Golden Rule. Come and join us and contribute to riveting conversations about fathers, their children, rights and agency.
It's Monday.
And it's both National Puzzle Day and National Bubble Wrap Day. And this episode is sponsored by The Truth. Truth, because nobody should give a damn about personal incredulity.
And you are very welcome to the DAD podcast. So, National Puzzle Day, Matt, and National Bubble Wrap Day.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know why both puzzles and bubble wraps are shared and celebrated on this day, but nevertheless, they are. So, perhaps I thought today we could start a little differently with a puzzle for both you and the lovely listeners. Now, don't worry, Lee, you don't have to rush to get the answer to this one correct, but it'd be really good if you could attempt an answer at the end of the episode. So, here's the puzzle, listeners. How is it possible for a man to fall from a 30-story building and be completely uninjured? Now, there's no right or wrong answers, but one will fit particularly well.
I feel like if I was to give an answer now, it'd be the wrong one, so I'm going to keep my comments to myself until I have time to think about it.
Excellent. Not a bad idea at all. So, young man, what's on the agenda for today in the shed?
Well, we keep promoting the idea of being invested in truth as a company, and I thought we should do a bit of a deep dive into what the truth is and why it is important in legal context post-separation.
Sounds good to me. Let's jump in.
So we are going to try to do this without boring you lovely listeners, but hopefully by the end of the pod, you will appreciate why it is such an important topic. So Matt, this topic always gets you a bit hot under the collar. Tell us why.
Okay, so let's go back a few years to contextualise this. It's 2017, and Donald Trump has just secured his first period, that's right folks, I said first period, of office in the White House, and his inauguration follows. Now, following his inauguration, he makes the claim, and I quote, "A massive crowd of people. We had a crowd, looked over the sea of people, and I said to myself, wow, I've never seen a crowd like this before. Big, big crowds. That was some crowd."
What other impressions can you do, Matt? I'm excited to hear.
I know that was the worst impression ever, but nevertheless.
I thought that was brilliant. So why did that get you pissed?
Okay, so he would later say that this was the largest crowd to ever attend an inauguration. Now, this was later demonstrated to be a false claim. He would later send his press secretary out to challenge the press on the size of the crowd. This was Sean Spicer's first meeting with the press, and essentially, he had to come before them and tell a lie.
At which point the press challenged this, and Kellyanne Conway, which is the White House advisor, said that the president was employing alternative facts, right?
Alternative facts. Arguably the most ridiculous thing that has ever been spoken to the world.
Calm down, big man, calm down. Here, listen, Alan. If you ever want to hear Matt get animated, just get him started on philosophical construct of truth.
But it matters, though. Alternative facts implies there are multiple equally valid interpretations of reality, even when clear and objective evidence might point to the contrary.
Well, we can see how passionate you are about this, Matt.
I really am.
So I suppose the idea of alternate facts erodes trust in information sources, sows confusion, and contributes to a climate of disinformation and misinformation.
Exactly. The idea of alternative facts creates realities in which subjective interpretations replace objective truths. Now, this matters to us as an organisation, and it also matters within legal due process. So we're going to explore what truth means, how it's different from a claim, and why both are important in legal contexts. Now, as ever, it's time for the public disclaimer. We are just two blokes who are sat in a shed, sipping tea and chatting. We make no claims as to the accuracy of these musings and do not apologise for any incorrect facts. But we will do our very best to get the information as correct as we can. So, what is truth?
If you had asked me this 12 months ago, I would have probably have had a very different answer for you, Matt. Don't get me wrong, as a topic, it's as boring as balls, but understanding how to communicate the truth can make the difference between being found innocent or guilty of a claim. Truth is the property of being in agreement with facts or reality. In everyday use, we use the term truth to represent the reality of our beliefs, propositions, and declarative statements. Truth, therefore, is usually held to be the opposite of a false statement.
Absolutely, nice. So there are several philosophical definitions of truth, as, for example, correspondence theory or pragmatic theory, coherence theory, constructivist theory, and census theory. But the legal system in the UK doesn't ascribe to a particular theory of truth, and instead it focuses on the application of legal rules, evidence, procedure, and fairness. Now, this is the case in many legal systems around the world.
The concept of truth within the UK legal proceedings is understood within something called the adversarial system, where parties present evidence and arguments, and a decision is made based on the available information. Adversarial refers to the idea of intellectual adversaries, usually legal professions, who present opposing arguments. In legal practice, the emphasis is on establishing facts through evidence, argumentation, which refers to the structure of ideas, and not having a row on someone. What's so funny, Matt?
Well, there's that idea of it being intellectual adversaries rather than having a row on someone. I thought it was an interesting thing to say.
Right. The legal system is designed to arrive at fair and just resolutions based on the presented evidence and application of relevant laws.
That's right. And so it's worth noting here that the term truth is used in the legal system, but in a pragmatic or legal sense, rather than in the way philosophers or metaphysicians use this. For example, a court will usually determine the truth of a matter based on the evidence presented and legal standards.
So, Matt, you and I have spoken at length about the differences between truth and claims. I think there would be value in explaining these differences to listener land, all five of them.
Sure. You know what they say, though? Five today, six by this time next year.
So, what is a claim? A claim is a statement or assertion, to use a fancy word, that something is true, factual, and valid. Claims can be made in various contexts, including academic writings, everyday conversations, legal arguments, and scientific research. Not all claims are true. They are merely declarations that may or may not align with reality.
Yeah, good, absolutely. So truth, on the other hand, refers to the state or quality of being in accordance with fact or reality. When a claim is said to be true, it means the statement accurately reflects the state of affairs, events, and conditions. So truth, unlike the claims I mentioned at the top of the podcast, is an objective quality. A statement is either considered true or false based on whether it comports or agrees with the best available evidence.
Now, we are not advocating for the idea of absolute truth. There is no such thing, and we will explain that in a short while.
There is, though, Lee, an important distinction to be made between beliefs and knowledge here also. So belief is a mental acceptance that a claim is true or likely to be true. Knowledge implies a higher standard of certainty in a claim, supported by evidence and supporting a belief.
One way I have come to effectively understand the importance of truth is by adopting the idea of degrees of confidence relating to a claim. Whether or not I believe a claim to be true will be proportionate to the available evidence. The more evidence there is for a claim, the higher the level of confidence I will place in it.
I see. So let's do a little example for listener land, right?
That's right.
Okay, so if I claim I have a pet dragon hidden away in a box at the back of the shed here.
Now, my confidence would be low on this. There is no evidence for dragons, no evidence of people keeping dragons as pets, and no way would you be sitting on a dragon secret. You would make bank hocking that thing, Matt.
Whereas, if I tell you I'm considering acquiring a pet dog,
I would have a higher degree of confidence in that claim. I know that people keep dogs as furry family members, that you have had pets before, and that they are readily available. That does not mean I am completely confident in either claim, but am more likely to believe one than the other.
Interesting. You're talking about epistemic humility there, I think. So it's necessary to accept that our confidence in any claim cannot be and should not be at 100%. This would suggest that there is something such as absolute truth. Now, if I produced a dragon from the back of the shed here, for example, you, Lee, would have to modify your position, thus the humility. Absolute confidence in a claim is almost impossible to achieve, and I personally encourage a sceptical and critical approach to any kind of truth claim.
I just hope there's no dragon in where we are now in this shed.
No, we go up in flames in a heartbeat.
You're going to be looking around this shed now. So from a legal perspective, I'm very interested in the idea of burdens of proof. Why should anyone care about that?
Well, when somebody makes an affirmative claim, it is the duty of the person making the claim to prove the claim to be true. Let's go back to the example of the dragon in the shed. Because it was me making the claim, the burden of proof rests with me to demonstrate the truth of the claim. You would be entirely justified in having a low level of confidence in such a claim in the absence of evidence presented by it. Where evidence is lacking for a claim made, the claimant should either meet their burden of proof, providing evidence for the claim, or accept that those hearing the claim should have little confidence in it.
So just to clarify, you're not claiming there's a dragon?
I'm absolutely not claiming there's a dragon. That would be ridiculous.
Well, that's a massive relief.
Yeah, absolutely. Sat in the shed, it would be.
And this, essentially, is what happens in court. There are various hearings associated with marital separation, and whilst we are not going to go into details of these now, it is worth mentioning the role truth, in the way that we've used here, is used in these processes.
So invariably, if you end up in one of these court hearings, you will usually be required to present your arguments in one of three ways, depending on the nature of the case being heard against you.
In our adversarial legal system, you will either represent yourself through a solicitor or through a barrister. Personally, I would not advise self-representation because likely outcomes are directly associated with the quality of an argument. Remember that claims plus evidence plus due process are how court decisions are made. Now, in some cases, it may be necessary to self-represent because of the ways in which the legal system is organised. If this is the case, there would be much value in seeking support from a McKenzie friend when going to court. We have provided a link in our show notes to gain more information on this.
Yeah, we have indeed. So there's information in the show notes about McKenzie Friends, and also there's some exciting opportunities coming up for Dad in the future around this idea of McKenzie Friends. Would you like to mention it?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because in the next 12 months, we're looking to expand DAD. Now, I know we've only just started and we're still getting established, but hear us out on this. We're looking, obviously, to invest in people. So to invest in people, we need to invest in ourselves as well. So as a company, we're looking at a few of us, obviously divulging into different aspects of what we can offer as a service. So, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the next 12 months, Dad will also include a consultancy and coaching arm. And this consultancy and coaching arm will relate specifically to supporting parents, both fathers and mothers, or men and women without children, in going through the divorce process, because it can be quite complicated, it can be quite expensive, and we'll be talking about that in a future podcast, I believe.
Yeah, we will be. Obviously, this is going to be in the next 12 months, so it's an ongoing project that we've got going on, but stick with us. And we'll keep you updated as soon as we know.
Absolutely. And in our very first podcast, we suggested that there was a philanthropic aspect to our work. We were going to be engaged in charity work. And part of our consultancy and coaching arm will include pro bono work, so working for free for people in need.
It will be. And I think helping people in need who can't find a way forward, who do need the help, Matt. There's many people that I've come across who just can't stand up and do it by themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it can be a completely daunting process. And for some people, of course, they don't have support networks, they don't have networks of friends, and it can be quite an isolating experience too.
So we're hoping that DAD becomes a place where us having the knowledge base that we need to obviously have can provide more to people.
Absolutely. So with that in mind, let's get back to chatting about the truth a little bit. So there's just a couple of other things that I think we should consider and explore with Listener Land, and that's that absolutely anybody can make a claim. I, for example, right now could claim that Lee had hit me upside the head with the rather large box we've got next to us.
Well, I think I'd rather that than a dragon in the shed, Matt.
Absolutely. But the problem is evidence of a claim, so Lee telling the world, or me telling the world rather, that Lee had hit me with a box, is not the same as the truth of having evidence of the truth of that assertion. I could make the claim he hit me. Yeah, so essentially what we're saying, I think, Lee, is that where there are claims made, in order for us to place a degree of confidence or a high degree of confidence in those claims, you'd usually expect there to be some sort of evidence in support for the claim.
Our investment in what is true should supersede what we believe to be true. One is evidence dependent and the other is evidence independent.
Absolutely. So, if we believe something to be true, we should be able to say why we believe it based upon the available evidence. Now, court cases require quality arguments to be successful. Assertions supported by evidence are more likely to meet the threshold of a quality argument.
So, why do so many cases go through court without evidence, Matt?
Well, there are different standards of evidence required in different courts. If you're talking about something like Crown Court and particular kinds of crime, let's take murder as an example, the threshold standard for finding somebody guilty of that crime is beyond the reasonable doubt.
Yes.
That means that the jury of 12 peers has to be convinced to a high standard, each individually, that the person is guilty of the crime they've been accused of. And that has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, meaning you either need, depending on the case, overall or majority decision.
Yes.
That's different in family court and magistrates' courts, where the threshold for guilt or for your argument being considered less convincing, essentially, is one that's based upon something called a propensity of the evidence.
Correct. So I'm speaking to both men and women here. Marriages, relationships do not break down because everything is good. They collapse for various reasons, and parties involved are rarely kind to one another after the fact. It's as simple as that. Claims may be made against you, but think about what we've said here. A claim is just a claim, and evidence will demonstrate the truth of the claim.
Absolutely, mate. And I've got to say that everybody out there in listener land, and us ourselves, we need to guard against making malicious claims ourselves. So a good piece of advice is to sit on anything you've got that's an evidentiary claim and use those in court rather than showing your hand prior to the court hearing. It's quite important, I think, that you're not kind of allowing the other party too far in advance to know what your hand is and what you're intending to play when you get to the court, particularly if you've got something that's in evidence that proves your claim to be true.
So that's something you call holdback information.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, before a court case is heard, there's a period called discovery where solicitors on both sides of a proceeding are allowed to see the evidence the other party is holding. There's almost something special about holding back pieces of information until that discovery period, particularly because if you're making a claim and have evidence in support of that, you want that to be seen in court essentially first, rather than it to become this whole thing amongst family members and amongst friends, where people are musing over whether or not your claim is true. Going into court with that claim and the evidence that supports it is a much better idea.
And I think this is the importance of truth, isn't it, Matt?
Absolutely. Talking about that importance of truth thing, I think there's a real kind of debate to be had about the education and teaching of philosophical principles. Now, whilst I personally understand that the teaching of religious studies is important in terms of our acceptance of other people, right?
Yeah.
I do think that teaching our real or religion, particularly from a one school of thought over others, is problematic. I've advocated for the longest time, and will continue to do so, that education should teach children those basic principles of philosophy. So the idea of the categorical imperative, morality, those sorts of things can be taught from a humanistic, non-religious position. And I think that teaches children a good lesson in truth, in understanding what truth is, when to exercise it, how that relates to their rights.
And it also teaches children between right and wrong, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
You know, and just remember, the truth will set you free.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of this idea of playing a long game where truth is concerned. I think that you don't always necessarily hear the truth immediately. There's a cacophony of noise at the point a relationship breaks down.
Yeah.
And you're much better off sitting on the sidelines and letting that thing play out, and then eventually waiting for that truth to be heard.
But it's amazing in so many cases, Matt, when a marriage does break down. Everything's fine whilst you're married.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as a marriage breaks down, that's when the problems occur, isn't it? Obviously, going through the court system and truth, especially with truth, Matt. There's always truth that's added afterwards when the marriage does break down. The truth never comes out when you're in a happy marriage, does it?
No, absolutely not. No, I agree. I think it becomes all rather messy at the end of a relationship, and you have to accept that there are likely to be one or two claims that are being made that are fallacious at best. There's likely to be some things said to one another that you perhaps ordinarily wouldn't say to another human being. I think all of that is, whilst normal, necessary to not get caught up in if you can help it. Okay, so we hope we haven't bored you with talking about truth, but we have got a couple of matters in the news just now.
Yeah, so recently we have expanded, haven't we, Matt? We've all of our podcast is now available on different platforms. So wherever you're viewing your podcast, whether it's Apple, Google, Podchaser.
Now, just to interrupt Lee here very quickly, Lee just did something that I do on an almost weekly basis. I often do bunny ears when I'm quoting something, and obviously none of you can see me. And yet Lee's just said, wherever you see your podcasts, which I found amusing.
And that is an example of how you make a fallacious claim. You don't see your podcast, you listen to your podcast. So well picked up on that, Matt.
Excellent stuff, and well done for tying that into the message of the day about truth. I didn't think you were going to get there, but you did. Well done.
At least I didn't have an heart attack this time.
Absolutely.
Or a stroke.
So there's another piece of news we've got for you just now, and that's in relation to looking out for our podcast next week. Next week we'll be interviewing a mother who has gone through the court system and has a very interesting story to tell about her experiences of that. So we're hoping this becomes the first of many feature that we will have guests on every couple of weeks or so, to be able to have conversations, riveting conversations essentially, about their experiences of parenting, of going through separation, their rights, their children's rights and agency. So lovely listener land, if you feel you have a story to tell, please do reach out to us. We'd be very glad to have you on the podcast. And the same is true for our blogs, right?
That's correct. So if anyone does have a story to tell, Matt, they can quite happily come to the website. They can quite happily contact us through the website or on social media. And like I said, again, listen to all of our podcasts for inspiration to come forward.
Absolutely. And we're hoping that people in the universe, as it were, come forward and write blogs for the website. Whilst we can't remunerate you financially for your time, your article obviously will be published on the Dad platform, and eventually we're hoping to make people who write for us honorary members of the Dad family.
Yes, and we're also talking about getting the Dad Creed printed, aren't we, Matt? So obviously give out
as wallet cards. Yeah, look out for that, folks. That's exciting stuff coming through the pipeline on that as we speak, actually. So Lee, it's that time again. Over to you for your thought for the day.
So all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as being self-evident. Go on then, David. I see you're itching. Let's have the dad joke for the week.
Okie dokie. So singing in the shower is fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it's a soap opera. Oh, and we should give the answer to the puzzle at the top of the top of the podcast, right?
Do you know what? I've been thinking long and hard about this. I've had since the start of this podcast, because I didn't want to look stupid by giving a terrible answer, but I think I have got this now.
Well, just before you give it, you said you thought long and hard about this, and this podcast is going to be about 28 minutes long. It's probably taken us an hour to record, so I believe that.
Don't take the mic. So I think I've got it. Tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
I think the man fell from the first story window.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the answer that fits in most nicely, most comfortably. Yeah. But as we said, folks, there are no right or wrong answers to these silly puzzles. So if you came up with something different, but it works, please let us know on social media. We'd be keen to hear from you.
Yeah, we need it. We need it. So please, please remember to follow us and share on social media as much as you can. You know, let's get DOD out there. Let's give something for people to look forward to.
Absolutely, yeah. We'd appreciate a follow as well as you contacting us through social medias. It really does help the platform grow. For example, last week we had 4 followers on Instagram, and this week we've got 5.
Hey! We're getting there, slowly but surely, we're getting there.
And that's the idea, it's a slow bake. And so, we're going to end in the usual way, with the Dad's Creed. We very much look forward to, I'm sticking with it, folks, seeing you next week. Yeah. And so, for more riveting conversations about fathers,
their children,
rights,
and agency,
we will speak with you next week.
Take care. In those moments when you feel downcast, when the hope is sucked from your lungs and your gaze is cast to the floor in despair, raise your head up high, and with the thought of the most precious thing in your life, your children, held firmly in your heart, say the DAD Creed with me. I believe in nothing more than the love I have for you. Not hell nor high water, not rain nor shine, not hate nor despair. Or those who would keep us apart with no true cause to do so will change this love. A father's love is like no other, imparted on his soul from the moment he first saw the apple of his eye. The rights of fathers and those of their children are not a privilege, they are a right. A right we will exercise with compassion, care, love and observance of the golden rule. Raise your hands confidently, caringly and with hope. Be counted because not all dads are deadbeats.
And so, if you're interested in having riveting conversations about fathers, their children, rights and agency, look out for DAD on the interwebs and social media. We look forward to seeing you and welcoming you to our conversations.